G'day, listeners. Welcome to Bar Karate, the sailing podcast. It's that time of the week where we get to hang out with some really cool sailors, but unfortunately I have to share the time with my two idiot mates. So first up, welcome to the show, Mr. Brett Perry.
Greetings, exalted one.
BP.
Yes, welcome back.
You must be a tired little puppy. You've been...
I am, but that's all right. Just lots of sailing, but had a week off this week, so preparing for the New South Wales titles next weekend. So all good from my side.
No worries. Well, let's bring in the other bloke.
He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr.
The great Nick Boss.
Happy Valentine's Day, man.
Oh, yes.
Thank you. Love the roses.
Yes. Yeah, went down pretty well. And we got a romantic dinner plan. Oh, no, I'm doing bar karate with my two mates.
I did think that.
Much the same as mine. But guess what I did before that? Took her to the club to watch the cup.
Oh, the romance.
We are just,
I can feel it.
It's the boats, the keely-foily things, you know, the twin skin mainsails, the whole lot. It's just so beautiful.
Which club did you go to?
Oh, the Magnificent Cruising Yacht Club of Australia.
Oh,
upstairs,
there you go.
Had her own table with Mr. Sam Hunt and his lovely rowena.
Oh, fantastic. And it's how about nice. Yourself, Joe? You had a big day at Mooloola Bar Yacht Club?
Correct. Yep, yep.
Yeah, how did it all go down?
It went good.
Didn't get a phone call.
Oh, yeah. Well, I knew the answer to everything. No, we had a good time, actually. It was good. Doing it again next week.
Fantastic. Any how much bar karate sailors lager was consumed?
2.5 million crates.
Oh, yeah, done well.
We must be loaded now.
I'll get the order in. Yeah.
At $1 a crate profit, that's all right.
Yeah, that's it.
Do the math.
All right. Well, we've some busy times coming up, boys. Obviously, there's a fair bit of sailing going on for you two. Even some sailing going on for me coming up.
Wow, so, yes it is.
So, you might have to crack a bit of exercise, might do a sit-up or two just to get warmed up. But, so we got a lot to
do. Don't rock yourself to sleep, mate.
Well, after the first one and then the second one, just lays flat in the back.
Yeah, that's it. All right, well, we got another cracking guest tonight. We're stoked again. It just keeps going.
Every week.
Every week.
I like it.
Yeah, I think this one will be fun. I'm hoping it'll be fun. I know the guys are good fun, so we're pretty keen. Into the show tonight is a Finn sailor, an Olympic sailor. Went to the Olympics in Rio, got eighth there, fifth in the Finn Gold Cup 2019, youngest Aussie champion in the Finn. Was part of the Artemis team as a grinder. What else? Started out in the world of triathlon and cycling, and then so this is the unique thing about this bloke. He didn't start in the sailing world. He got bought into the sailing world. Now works as an international model. just seeing if I get a bite or if he'd fallen asleep. Doing a bit of Etchell stuff, and welcome to the show, Mr. Jake Lilly. How are you, mate?
Thanks for having me, boys. Pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah, nice one. Big day in your career.
Yeah, massive day. This is definitely one of the milestones, and I'll be sure to write this down.
Put straight in the diary, just off the catwalk in Milan. Big up, Parker.
Yeah, mate. Next stop, Paris.
That's it. Oh dear. Mate, so you are a bit of a unique one in that, you know, most people we get on the show, most people that make it to the top. All started super young in the sport, you know, like, but you didn't join the sport till you're about 15 and a mate brought you into it. I'm pretty sure that was Alex Goff, just going off my memory. Is that right?
Yeah. Goff and I were best mates at school and we used to ride together and I had a pretty nasty crash one day and he said, mate, come try this sailing thing. So we went out on a puff and pace. So I put my legs over the side like it was a 50-footer and had a great time. And, I was hooked. I thought they'd be swimming up and down a black line and flogging it out on the bike. So, I was hooked from that day and I guess that was it.
Yeah. And, wow, what an outcome, you know. Like you're sort of known in the Finn world just before we sort of go into the early stuff is one of the strongest and fittest blokes in probably the class of boat where you need to be super strong and super fit. And, you know, coming from that, you did triathlon cycling, you know, and you're one of those sort of blokes that just knows how to work hard, aren't you?
Yeah, I guess it was like that thing, like you say, if you start something at 15 in this sport, that's like really late. So you figure out, you know, I had coach Adrian Finglas, and he used to harp on about this 10,000 hours thing. You know, it takes 10,000 hours to be a guru, and he obviously got that from somewhere else. But
and he practices it well, chasing cougars. He's got definitely more than 10,000 hours in that, though.
I never saw any of that, so I've got no idea what you're talking about. Yeah, none of that rubbed off. But, yeah, so...
We love you, Ace. We love you.
Yeah, he's a legend. He's a good man. And you know, he was there for the first couple thousand hours and was a big part of that. So I think, yeah, it was a case when we set out to do this together, he sort of... saw me at the yacht club one day and goes, mate, do you want to go to the Olympics? I said, mate, since the year 2000, that was all I wanted to do. It was just had it looked a different way in the beginning, looked like cycling or triathlon. So anyway, he showed me that road and, yeah, we were basically inseparable for 5 or 6 years and we got to 10,000 hours pretty quickly.
You log that? Did you log that in your diary just out of interest? You know, 1 hour, 1 hour, 1 hour, and at the end, you know, did you celebrate the 10,000th hour?
I actually lost track after about 6,000 or 7,000. It just...
It all became a blur.
Yeah, it all became a blur. That was many years ago, and yeah, I guess that 10,000's good enough to get you to the games, but we're working on getting the next couple thousand in to win the thing.
Yep. Yeah. So who's your coach nowadays?
Oh, the great Spaniard, Rafa Trujillo.
Oh, Rafa. Jeez, mate, you've hanging out with all the legends. Yeah. Next thing you'll probably chuck Knocker's name in the ring.
Yeah, so we got quite a crew between Rafa and Knocker and myself. Yeah, you got two pretty fair income Australians and a Spaniard with not the best English. So between the three of us, you definitely need subtitles. And my missus and her crew, they're Swedish FX sailors. They listen to you guys all the time. Anyway, they're like, when you go on the bar karate, mate, you've got to speak clearly because we won't understand a word of your English otherwise.
So just going back before we kind of get into the Olympics and stuff. So you've Goffey's told you to swing your legs inboard and hike out using the hiking straps. And then what were the next steps? Was it just super quick and you were straight into it or?
Then Goffey taught me how to fall off a yacht in the middle of the ocean. So I had to rewind and relearn a couple things after Goffey's good influence.
He's got that mastered.
Yeah, he did well.
Okay, so you're on a pacer, and Goffey said to you, "Let's do some more sailing." What was the boat after that? Because I mean, to be start sailing at 15 and now be an Olympic representative with definite possibilities of doing really well, it's only a few years ago you started sailing.
Yeah, I think. To answer the first question, like I got into 420 very briefly crewing, but at the same time was starting to steer laser radial. And that was sort of the pathway, like I was the right size at the time and it looked like I was going to be a big unit. That so happened to be. And so it was always going to be that laser radial, laser fin sort of pathway.
Yeah, okay. Similar to our old mate John Bohr.
Yeah, exactly.
Hungry,
yeah.
Yeah. Same pathway, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, well, I mean, that is...
So you're in the fin when you're 16?
not quite. I couldn't afford the thing. That was a bit of an obstacle at the beginning. But, yeah, I did, it got into laser and got big pretty quickly. Like, as I aged out of radials, was already too big for that. Got into the laser and I was the right size for about 2 weeks. But then, yeah, it was too big for that, so it was time to bite the bullet and get a fin.
Right. So, I mean, when you were into the fin for the first time, did you have any clue about what life was like in the fin? Like, were you, you know, not having a sailing bracket, do you know the history of the fin? Do you know how popular it is? Do you know anything about it at all?
Oh, mate, I'm the biggest fin nut there is out there. Oh, followed by my coach probably is the biggest one. But, yeah, I mean, designed in 56, sailed every game since, all the medalists, you name it. But, yeah, so when I got into it, I had been mates with Brendan Casey, who represented Oz in London 2012. And he came home from the Olympics and he basically wouldn't stop ringing me until I came down to his house and took the fin out of the garage and went for a sail. And I did that there on the Broadwater of the Gold Coast. And it's, if you know the area, it's quite enclosed space. You have to do a fair bit of manoeuvring. And it just felt like a yacht at the time, at the start. And it was so complex. There's these lines and mast rake and all this stuff going on. And it was a baptism the first time, but I was hooked. And, yeah, I mean, that vision you see of the biggest, strongest, and often the most successful sailors coming from the fin is for a reason. Mm. And the fin really holds true to that. It's like a fantastic boat to sail and so, produces the best.
So you're you come out of lasers, right? And so you're talking, pretend you're talking to someone that's at the top of the weight range for a laser and thinking about going to a fin. Just describe the difference between the two boats so they can understand.
It's taking me back. I've got to think back to the laser now. Yeah, laser's like your little go-kart and you're going to go and get in your Formula One kart. It's not the same in terms of speed, but in terms of complexity and what's required to make the thing work at its optimum.
So who does all that? Like you say you're into the tech stuff, but, you know, like when you're setting up a fin, you know, as you say, you've got to get your rake, you've got to actually get the right mast, you've got that, everything comes down to your luff curve matching to your mast and getting the right mast for your size and, you know, even the hull now, you know, like you've got to get, there's one particular hull that's working at the moment, you know, like who works on all that? Like, are you doing that or is that discussion with your coach or is the Australian team just saying, here's your boat, you know, like how does it all work?
Oh, we got a massive network. I mean, and there's so many complex variables like hull, rig, sails, you know, appendages, whatever. So there's a lot of things going on in that space, and I'm fortunate enough to work for the boat builder as their Aussie agent. So there's a bit of a in there, and you know, have a really good relationship with North Sails, and so they look after that side of things, and we work on all that together. And then the mast and everything else we do is often generated within the smaller team of me and my coach, and then we'll look for help beyond that. And, yeah, the Australian sailing team's got great resources and great minds headed up by Ian Murray, so it's pretty hard to find better assets in there.
And then you've got and then you've got Knocker as well.
Yeah, the funny thing is, Knock might downplay it, but he's super switched on and absolutely, soaked it all in over the years. So there's a fountain of knowledge there.
Are you doing anything different to like the top three or top five, or is everyone kind of being pushed into one corner, or are there still a few outliers?
Yeah, I mean, right now it's probably hard to know based on the situation. Like, I've been in Australia for a long time. And a couple of the other top guys are doing the Cup, so you don't know what they're doing in Finn World. And we obviously have a look at what everyone's doing over in Europe. It's hard to say, but there is, I mean, the boat's been around since 56. A fin's a fin at the end of the day, and you can only skin the cat so many ways. So everyone's sort of in a very... It's a very one design class. Like if you look at the tolerances and the mast bends and sails, and it's probably tighter than some of your factory built other classes. Mm. I guess
those tolerances also are worked out for yourself, your personal physique and your personal style. So, you know, it's really comes down to getting over there to where the competition is, and just getting on board and going sailing, and then getting your racecraft back up to scratch. Would you say that?
Yeah, for sure. And that's been a big part throughout the whole campaign. I mean, we switched coaches after the America's Cup. So at the end of 2017, a Rafa came on board, and Raf's been around the game for a long time. And he brought a whole new set of ideas. And so with that came new equipment, and we basically debriefed everything, broke it down, and started again from scratch and rebuilt it, because we knew if we were going to actually get the medal in Tokyo, we'd have to do it a different way to what we did going into Rio. So that took a long time to sort of process and really get to terms with how everything was working with myself, with him, with the equipment. And, but we're in a really happy space with all of that, and that's gone the right way. And looking forward to checking in with everyone else. But in terms of race craft, like, we find other ways. Like, we always find a way. So here right now, the actual class has gone mental. So we're heavily involved with that and soaking that in from other guys and racing hard every week. So, yeah.
So before taking the next steps, just going back to Rio, eighth in Rio, you were on the pace, lacked a bit. What was your feeling out of that, basically setting up for Tokyo?
Yeah, I think I approached the thing in two ways. I probably had a realization prior to the games that it would really have to sort of align for me to be able to medal, just where I was at in my progression. I think I was the youngest there in the fleet at the time. And I knew, like, yeah, it had to all swing your ways. We weren't exactly prepared in 100% of the aspects. So part of me was using it to give it the best crack I could and try and bring home a medal. And another part was always going to be learning for Tokyo. And at the same time, we had an incredibly successful team in Brazil. So you want to contribute to the success of all the other fantastic team members and not detract from that in any way. So I suppose my Rio experience was enough, as much about being there for them as it was for myself. And I think that was an important part, because I then got to experience what they did to win or to bring home medals, or and also experience my own journey. And I think that's going to hold really strong going into middle of this year.
Well, I've got a theory.
Please,
so if you want,
indulge us.
If you want to win a Finn gold medal, right? Since 2004, you've had to have a British passport.
Since 2000. Perth won it in 2000.
Oh, Perth, yeah, of course, yeah. So,
smash down.
Yeah, so here's my thing. I reckon the Poms did a whole bunch of testing on all the masks. They spend a fortune getting all the masks, and they've got all this data that they've been keeping secret from everyone else. And I reckon that they've got this sort of special magic number way to produce, you know, get the right mask, get the right setup on the boat. Do you reckon is that just stupidity on my part, which is common, or is it something that, you know, or are just the Poms the best sailors in the fin class at the moment?
Can I answer?
Yeah, go for it.
So since then, of course, you get Perth, and then there's this bloke who has gone on to be the most recognisable Olympic or successful Olympic sailor ever, Sir Ben Ainslie.
Robin Ainslie?
Pretty handy. Pretty handy.
Yeah, and then Giles, right? So they've had a monumental run, and they just seem to, I don't know whether it's the coaching, whether it's just the, obviously Ben is a bit of a unique freak, but so is Ian Percy, I guess, isn't he? And Giles, you know, so are they, do they have a special number, do you reckon, or is it, it's just all even, everyone knows everything?
I wouldn't say everyone knows everything, but those guys are like in a league of their own. They're a special calibre, so I think there's a huge element of that. I'd never got to race against Ben, but everyone knows who he is, and I work with Perse, and the guy's just incredible. And obviously raced against Giles, and he's a very tough competitor. So, you know, as individuals, they're all fantastic, but no doubt they've got a really good system in that class. And have got it figured out, and I guess the rest of the world's been playing catch up until probably the end of 2019. You just look at the Gold Cup results and
yeah,
we'll see what happens after COVID.
Yeah. So, I mean, just while we're talking that, I'm sorry to step on you, boys, but this is the last chance to win a gold medal in the Finn if they get this, if we get this Olympics through, you know, because that's the end of the Finn. It's also probably the last chance to win a sailing medal if you're anything but a midget, you know. You
which he is not.
No, that's right.
I will say.
So do you think about that at all?
I mean, yeah, that definitely weighs on you. I think it weighs on everybody because everybody stepped it up this time. The intensity of this quad compared to the last one is a whole new level. You have blokes like Nick Heiner, Zombor, Andy Maloney, Josh Junior. These guys are like animals. You could put them next to any Olympic athlete and there's no difference in terms of physique and potential power outputs. So... and in terms of what people are doing with their sailing equipment, there's no stone left unturned, and everyone knows the grindstone to make this one happen. Everyone knows it's potentially the last. So, yeah, it weighs on you. So it's just about making the best of it and seeing what happens after that.
Out of those names you just sort of spun off there, how many do you think, are sort of, out of the top 10, I mean, do you think every one of the person in the top 10 has a chance to take home a medal?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The class is great depth and you can probably go deeper than that. You can probably go to the top 15 who end up going to Tokyo or will have a chance.
I guess speaking of Tokyo, what's the word?
You had to come up, didn't it?
Oh, it's got to be.
Yeah, it's always going to come up.
Does Big Fella give you a bit of an update once a week, what the latest feelings are, what the word is, keep training your ass off?
Yeah, I mean, we have comms within our own team as to how we're approaching it and what we're thinking. But I guess in terms of it happening, it's a far greater power that controls all that stuff in terms of the IOC and Japanese government. So we get feedback from the Australian Olympic Committee on the regular and they're pretty positive that it's going to go ahead. And I mean, it would be remiss of us to train as if it wasn't going to happen. So we're going full steam ahead and I think our team's in a fantastic shape and hopefully do the country pretty proud.
Apparently the AP flag that's been flying for a solid 9 months now is starting to get a bit worn out, so they got to drop it at some point.
So are the wetsuits you're all wearing.
Yeah.
Around on the beach waiting.
Yeah. No, it's looking good, and, yeah, I think there'll be some Olympic-class racing happening pretty soon.
What cool. about the pumping? How did that change? How does that change the whole sailing aspect? What do you feel about the pumping?
Oh, I mean, I love the free pumping. It takes any jury activity out of the equation, firstly, and secondly, it makes it a lot more physical. So now, you know, if you look across a range of classes, you have the fittest, strongest blokes all gravitate to one class, and that's a large element why. And I think it's important to being successful.
I was watching some fin racing on YouTube just the other day, and just the intensity of the pumping, you know, like it's just insane how hard you guys are working. Because the boat weighs so much, you got to that all got to transfer your body. You must have just enormous sort of physiques after that, you know, like it must be insane at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think everyone's pretty strong, but another thing that's happened with it now is that it is so intense, your heart rate's so high for long periods of time, it's actually trimmed everybody down. So everyone's pretty lean compared to what you might have seen in previous editions.
Like a knocker or a raffer.
I'm not sorry, lads. Names.
No, they're fantastic. We know. We love them. But you can see things have changed.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, it's not to be understated how important that is. Yes, it's the physiological demands of the yacht are just pretty hard to replicate. I mean, I do some other, like I got into kayak paddling and you go pretty hard on downwinders of flat water racing. You can't get the same as what you get in racing a fin or whatever you do in the gym. Yeah, you can't replicate it.
Do you ever think you're sailing the fin and...
Are you kidding me?
I'll just write the time down for that one.
Happy Valentine's Day, mate.
Yeah.
Oh, hang on, I forgot.
Oh, dear.
I'll just beep that one so everyone gets it.
Joe, your inability to censor is a crack. Anyway, let's move on from there.
All good.
So do you have a favourite boat of all the boats you saw?
Oh.
Oh, hang on, how many you got?
Yeah, I have a stupid amount of boats at the moment.
I meant different classes. Like if you went, because what are you doing, the etch?
Yeah, I know what you meant. 100%. Yeah, it's like I got a bunch of different boats that I'm involved in, and it's really hard because they're all so different and they all have like good things about them. I kind of am a bit of a sucker for the classic slow boat, old school racing. So, you know, we're talking Stars, Etchells, Fins. I think the racing's hard to beat. But coming in with dirty underwear is pretty cool when you're, you know, cracking some fast speeds on some foilers. So, yeah, I mean, different things. Like there's the racing when you're against John Bertram, Tom Slingsby and Matt Belcher all on the same race course, and Etchell is hard to beat, but at the same time getting cracking 30, 40, 50 knots in, you know, AC50s or MOF class is pretty cool. So
just all round, sounds like.
Yep. BP, what's yours, mate?
What's my favourite boat?
Yeah.
Oh, all of them. Just love them all.
Yeah, there you go.
What about, obviously, it's not just you. You don't just get, no one just gives you the spot for the Olympic team. You've got to earn it pretty hard. And obviously, I guess the other standout in Australia is Ollie. How does it go between you two guys? Like, is it you're good mates, or is it super intense, or what?
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't say we're good mates. It's pretty hard when you're fighting someone for, you know, a single spot on the Olympic team to sort of be, you know, on good beer-drinking terms unless you're already mates prior to embarking on that campaign. So, yeah, it's intense, but it's really amicable, and we worked well over the period leading up to the Gold Cup in 2019, but I haven't seen him since then.
Oh, okay. Because yeah. I wondered if you're off on camps together all the time, or you sort of work independently.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I can answer this one because I don't know if he's still actually campaigning actively or not.
Yeah, no, that's cool. Do you need me to step up, mate, to give you a workout?
He knows everything.
And I've had plenty of offers for low, slow training partners, so you'll have to get in line.
Gummy, yes. Oh, I'm hurt now. Well, that was nice talking to you. We'll have to end the interview.
I mean, I'm not sure, like, GT's put his name forward about 100 times, so you're just behind him, Jordan.
Thanks, mate. Thanks, mate. Oh, dear. So, I mean, what's the program if everything kicks back in? What'll be next for you? Like,
Yeah, I mean, at the moment, our European Championships and World Championships look like they're going to go ahead in Europe over sort of April, May.
Really?
So, yeah, potentially. So, I mean, you got to have that as if they're going to go ahead. You've got to be prepared for it. So that's sort of what we're angling towards. And then after that, maybe Japan World Cup and Olympics. But, yeah, we'll see how it plays out. We're ready.
So in the lead up to all that, give us your standard week. How much yachting are you doing?
Yeah.
Different yachts, yeah.
Plenty of yachting. At the moment, there's a fair bit of Etchells racing over summer, which has been awesome. So every weekend out on that, or every championship that's available there. And then we're in the fin most days. And on top of that, I guess just usual sort of workout schedule, but just trying to get as much time on the surf ski as I can at the moment and surf some other waves for once.
Are you paddling with Will? Are you into that? Is it?
Yeah. Will has a good go at trying to hang on, but yeah, we generally meet up for coffee afterwards.
So who's in the little group then?
I guess it depends where we are. If we're up at Lake Macquarie, we got Will and we got Slingo's brother-in-law Joel Castle and the legend up there, Joel Skelton. They're good paddlers and. Yeah, they sort of welcomed me into their group, so that was pretty cool. And then down in Sydney, we're training out of Middle Harbour, and there's a good Sydney Harbour Surf Club operates out of there, and they're a bunch of legends. So, yeah, groups around Middle Harbour, Balmoral area.
It's interesting how many sailors have got into paddling, you know. It was cycling for a while, all the cool kids have moved off onto the paddling, I've noticed. It's
wicked, like... I mean, when you're getting, you know, deep in a 6-footer going downwind at 15 knots on a surf ski is pretty cool. Like we had a day in Swansea Bar and I got this huge wave in front of Will. I left him to get the one behind it because it looked even bigger. So I paddled off on the first one. After about 200 metres, fell off the back of that and I could just hear him coming behind me screaming, mate, paddle, paddle. Anyway, so I get on this huge one into white water and it tosses me side on, so I'm going 90 degrees, looking at Will, who's like 3 metres from me, and it tips me backwards, and then I re-enter, go backwards down this wave with Will like 3 metres next to me. It was having a good time, so it's pretty loose. But, yeah, good. We call it cross-training, wave recognition and whatnot. So. Yeah,
exactly.
All tax deductible.
It is cross-training. You guys should get Kai Hurstie out, and he just show you how it's done.
We're trying to be like the best in our own little groups. We don't need to add any legends to it, mate.
Should we invite Hersey? Nah.
We'll get him on the show. At the moment. We'll talk him into it. We'll get him on.
Job protection, mate. Yeah. You want to remain the top dog.
That's it. All right. I like it. Well, Sean Rice listens to the show. He's the world champion ski paddler. He listens in. We're pretty good mates with the old Shawnee, so he listens in. So just keep talking yourself up.
Yeah, mate. Any way we could get some tips from that bloke to keep the bow pointing forward down the wave, it'd be good.
Well, he's right up there with one of the nicest blokes in the world, and he's very helpful, so we'll make the intro for you.
Awesome. Appreciate it.
It's very cool.
Come on, Barcarati, and just extend your sporting prowess.
Networking, mate.
That's it, networking. Barcarati networking program.
What about, are you a fan in the sailing world? You know, you come into it late. Like, are you a fan... Are you watching what's going on in New Zealand, or do you watch the Vendée, or you watch the Volvo? What do you like, or is it just all fins?
Reruns of the 56 games.
Or do you just watch the 49er FX cruise?
You got me, mate. Actually, I'm a massive fangirl of the 49er FX fleet. Yeah, I'm like one of those chronics that's sitting there, like zooming in on the tracker, doing all the post-race analysis. And I think it drives the missus absolutely mental, but I love it. So I'm not going to give it up. Yeah, so I get the tracker out for the FX and, any sailing that's on, I'll give it a watch. So loving what's happening over in New Zealand at the moment.
Mm. Yeah, what's your thoughts after this weekend? Surprised or not really?
I suppose a little bit surprised. If someone said, you know, Luna Ross would go four up after the first weekend, you'd be like, oh, come on, Ben's going to have a better show than that. But, yeah, I definitely think Ineos has the potential to bounce back and turn this thing around. So they got some fighters in that team and some pretty smart cookies to figure it out. And I think if they get off the line in front, they'll be hard to pass. So I think that probably starts looks really, really, really critical.
He's just setting himself up for the world's biggest comeback.
It's already done it once. So
I know.
Once is enough.
Well, can't. This is only a best of seven, right?
Yeah, I know.
And the last one was best of nine, so it'll be the world's second biggest comeback.
World's second biggest. Sydney.
I'll just clarify: first to seven, and as opposed
That's
to
correct.
Yeah, first to nine. Yeah. sorry. Yeah. All right. So if you were to go out once the Olympics bows out, what's the pathway for you, mate? What do you think you will end up doing?
Kayaking. No. I don't know, mate. Like,
maybe we should do a kayak podcast. We've got a few people into it.
Yeah, into it. Yeah.
Buck Ruddy, the kayaking podcast.
What are you paddling?
What do I paddle? I got a couple of skis. I got a fan. I got a think and paddle on the Apex of the Sydney Harbour guys. So,
gee, you've got a few skis.
Hey, all over the joint.
Yeah. Not as many kayaks as boats.
Where's the loyalty lie?
In surf care, I'm new to it, so no loyalty yet.
No one's given you freebies yet.
No freebies yet. Got some more training to do. But, just whatever goes fastest, mate. Give us the best bit of kit to keep the bow facing forward and keep it ripping.
Yeah, it's good fun. It's good fun. So, yeah, all right, so we interrupted that sort of question before, which is, you know, the pathway, you know, for you.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's kind of hard to know exactly what you're going to do. I figure if you go and win the gold medal, it opens up a few options, so then it's better to have more options to choose from than less. So focusing on basically trying to secure that target at the moment. But after that, we'll have to see.
Do they – sorry, BP. Do you get a lot of sports psych work with the AIS, like with the Australian Sailing Team? So, you know, you don't feel the pressure, that sort of stuff? Do you get into all that stuff?
Yeah, there's plenty of fun. Psych work as well as physiology and all these sort of things. And yeah, I'm pretty lucky to have a good psych that works well between Raf and I. That's an important balance, I think, to get that right. And yeah, she definitely helps in a lot of ways in terms of making sure you're all put together in the right way and you're balanced with what you're doing in your life as well as your sailing, and then obviously improves the sailing thought processes and what's going on there and in a big way. So she's pretty helpful.
Just talking about direction of sailing for the future. Let's rewind again. Are you at the cricket or something?
No, I'm trying to have a guess. I reckon it's table tennis.
Table tennis.
You got it, Marcy, mate. It's table tennis.
The flatmates are playing table tennis.
Yeah, I live in a frat house, also known as the Australian Sailing Team accommodation. The laser boys are downstairs giving it to each other on the ping pong. I'll give you the quiet word. They're all useless except Wernie. Wernie is night and day better than anyone else.
I just
you should
say,
hear how the Malaysian laser team do that.
I just want to say for our American listeners, giving it to each other on the ping pong table is a different thing.
Yeah, I said at the start, mate, there'd be subtitles required.
And in comes and ladies and gentlemen, here comes the Thai team. Now, move on. Hey, listen. So anyway, let's rewind the clock back a bit. So at 15 years old, you started sailing. Did you know who John Burchan was when you started sailing?
Mate, he's a household name in this country. Yeah,
okay, good.
Definitely.
Okay. Now, okay, at 15 years old, did you ever think you'd be sailing with him?
Definitely not.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, definitely not.
What an experience. Yeah, what experience?
Yeah, I didn't know exactly how that happened. I kind of was having a hard time after Japan 2019, and we sort of only had 4 months to turn it around before the world. So I thought John Bertrand was the only Olympic medalist in the Finn from Australia to this point. So I guess he was the first person I called when I landed back from Japan, and I didn't expect him to answer, and I expected him to fob my voicemail off. But he called back straight away, and somehow he knew who I was, and we got talking. And he agreed when I went down to Melbourne that summer to be involved and run his eye over the campaign, help us out. And eventually somehow he dragged me out on his etchel and hasn't let me go since, thankfully.
I got to say, because obviously I've been doing a bit of sailing against you, and for me personally, to sail against John Bertrand is quite a for me personally is a bit of a milestone. But to sail with him must be wonderful. I mean, he comes up and he just nails it. I mean, that's part of the whole team. But you know, you got to say, I mean, to go out and do what you did last week was pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't sailed for almost a year, and we go out at 1 point off winning the goblets against the world champs. Mind you, Ian was missing, but you know, it's pretty.
Who did he have in place?
Some punter Spanish bloke. Yeah, Rafa was sailing with him.
Duck, duck, duck.
Had to let Raf beat me like at something because he's been having a hard time at Finn recently. But anyway, we finished close to them, and I think there's definite room for improvement as all three of us on board would agree. But yeah, Johnny's a legend, and he couldn't ask for a better person to be holding on the stick at the back and
Absolutely.
Have you ever spoke to John about his Olympics when he won the bronze? Did you ever ask him what happened and how it went?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because he had that. Well, I'm testing my memory from back then, but he had that capsize. I think he could have won the gold, and he had a capsize in the last race. I think is that right? I can't remember exactly, but
yeah. So I hope he doesn't mind me quoting what he said, but he said, so winning a bronze would have been just as easy as winning the gold, and he didn't feel as if he was mentally prepared enough for that, and hence the capsize and letting I think it was Jochen Schumann through to win, and he put that down to, you know, mental strength and capability in that space. So I think he then obviously went on a crusade over the next 7 years to improve in that regard quite a lot, and obviously that shone through when he broke the world's longest streak and won the cup. So yeah, I think he almost accredits that loss, even though he won the bronze, to winning the cup ultimately.
Yeah.
Because that sent him on that trajectory to turn him into the great man he is now.
Because I remember a story, because I'm old, I remember a story when he was doing the Finns, I think he did, maybe it was the Nationals in Western Australia or something, and he psyched the whole fleet out once. This is the story, because it was blowing 25-30 on the river, and he, you know, really hard to jibe a Finn in that sort of wind strength, and he's just rolling downwind while everyone's sitting on the beach, just jibe, and everyone was psyched out straight away because they knew he had mastery of the boat. And so, you know, he's always been, you know, when you say psychologically wasn't ready, but he was always been pretty confident.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we'd probably have to ask him a bit more detail about that, but yeah, I mean, he's obviously a true professional and has been a legend since way back. So, like, he still remains all these years later as the only Finn medalist to come out of this country.
Yeah.
Like, that's, I haven't given it a crack. That's no mean feat, to be honest.
No.
So, yeah, his legend status is forever reserved.
What about you? Like, is there, when you're out there, because you do a ton of regattas, is there one bloke that just keeps, just whether you get on best with, or he's always, you're always next to each other?
Just giving you the shit.
Yeah, yeah. One guy you just want to trash talk. You want to have the banter. Is there just one person in that fleet that you just go, oh, there he's again? Or, you know, it can be good or bad.
No one like, there he is again. Like, the Finn's full of gentlemen, really, which is pretty nice. Like, you know, there's nothing untowards that goes on. So that's pretty good, as opposed to some other fleets you sail in.
Which are the bad fleets, you reckon?
Oh, I mean, Laser's got to be a chronic for it, surely. They all got a large chip on their shoulder and something to prove, so, you know, the ego runs hot. But anyway, I mean, the top guys are all solid, but... And I didn't have anyone that I'm like, oh, there he is again. But Heiner's always good for the banter. And yeah, and Giles is pretty funny too, actually, in his own awkward way.
Yeah. Do you throw the banter out in the race course? Do you, like, you say anything, or is it just too intense?
Yeah, but no one understands me because of the accent. I think they just hear like, I know what's going on.
So you could just say anything. Make sure when you're mic'd up during the Olympics, you just send it and we'll replay on Barcarati for you.
Oh, mate.
We can interpret classic. If you want.
Yeah, everyone's pretty quiet on the race course, but I'll duck someone and, like, give them a little story or ask them how they're going.
One of us is going the wrong way.
Yeah.
I like the fact that you said the Finn is the, you know, it's all a fleet of gentlemen. I like that a lot. I reckon that's super cool. I mean, we promote the banter. We're very keen on the banter. But that's when you're a bunch of gentlemen, as you said, you can do the banter without anyone getting upset. You know, you can just, everyone knows it's fun. So... You know, I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And, like, guys run hot, like, especially as your heart rate gets up there and you start seeing red and the fog comes over as you're going around the bottom mark. You know, people clash, but at the end of the day, it's all said and done and it's all good by the time you get back to shore.
Who are the best guys to have a beer with on shore?
Kiwi blokes are pretty good for a beer, I'd have to say, actually. Yeah, Josh is always good for it. And Norwegian, Anders Pedersen, that man can drink. yeah, he's a weapon, mate. Oh, you should have seen him at the Esplanade Hotel over the summer. It was... You know, he's got, like, the big Norwegian blonde hair and... beautiful eyes, and he just was a dangerous man. And the British go pretty hard on the beers, but they're not so dangerous out at the pub.
Hitting out with their wooden teeth and all.
Yeah, mate.
What's the hardest lesson you've learned on the race course, mate?
That is easy. So I think it was, like, my first European regatta in the Finn, and I can't remember if it was a training race or it was legitimate, but anyway, I went for a tight cross. I was on port, obviously, against big Czech. Czech won, Mike Meyer, beat the Olympics, like, 9 times. I was like, 5 in sailing, 4 for ice hockey for Czech Republic. Oh, and he is known as, like, big Czech, because he's the guy that, like, literally skates onto the rink to check a bloke into the wall. And yeah, so anyway, I thought it was a great idea at 18 to cross this guy super marginal, and by marginal I mean he was hitting me midships. And so instead of ducking me, he sort of luffs up inside and rolls into attack under me, comes under the boom, stands up facing outboard, one hand on the tiller, the other hand, like, in a fist, being like, mate, you never do that again in this fleet. So that was the baptism of Finn sailing. Thank you to Big Czech Mike Meyer, and the respect level has been immaculate since.
Wow. Very cool story.
That's mighty. That's mighty impressive.
Great one.
Mm. And I mean, I guess, you know, he could back it up, you know, if he's playing ice hockey and going to the Olympics for sailing, you know. There's just not many people doing sport in he's just a legend. Or
pick a sport, any sport.
Pretty handy at the chin music.
Oh, dear.
I think he's a special dude, and yeah, he can back it up, but at the same time, he wouldn't harm anyone. So
no, that's cool. Are you enjoying it?
Oh, I love it. I don't want the Finn to leave. Like, I could do this for ages. I love every day, and it's pretty cool. Like, now Knocker's involved as well, as with Raf. Like, Raf and I had an awesome thing going on. And we're practically two best mates that get to go to work every day. And then, you know, Knocker's joined the crew, and it's just gone to a new level. So what else would you want to do, to be honest? So I'm just thankful for every day, and just loving it.
And out of Middle Harbour, I mean, what a little quiet piece of paradise that is.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So we might surf ski in the morning, then hit the gym, and then we'll have like a bit of a lunch break and then go out sailing. And then by that time, the nor'easter is generally pumped in, and so you get the wing foil out, and off you go for half an hour after
that's
work.
That's the day. And then an actual goblets regatta.
Yeah, that I cooked myself that week.
Tell me about
it. A bit too much. But yeah, it's awesome. What else would you be doing?
Absolutely. Cool.
It's interesting because we're harping on the Finn a little bit. We haven't talked about a bunch of other stuff, but your club where you started out, it's gone Finn crazy there.
Yeah, I mean, when I got the Finn, I was pretty much the only guy there. Doing it. I think there might have been one or two others. And now we've got close to 40 boats on the hard stand.
Wow.
And, like, that's just in Queensland, in Brisbane, at one club.
Mm.
So the thing's gone gangbusters.
And how many of those have you sold?
Not enough. Yeah, not enough, but... We got some guys who are super keen and into it now and getting new boats, and everyone's like taking it up a level. So that's been awesome. Like, I'm not sure many guys around the world when COVID was rife could say they're out there training and racing every weekend with 20 to 30 other Finns. So pretty lucky.
Do you think this is a bit of a of something to come if the Finn are out of the Olympics?
I was about to ask the same question.
Is it going to make a resurgence? And
I mean,
bigger than what they have been.
The problem is, like, is the youth of the sport. You need people to keep coming through. So if you have the sport go in a direction which takes you away from that, the long term impacts of like everything in that area dies off. That's why I think it's important that, you know, we keep the fight to keep the thing in the games. But the Masters fleet right now is really strong, and I think it has been in its own right for many years. And in Australia, it's definitely going strong. We had a not the nationals event, so basically local Sydney guys, because of restrictions at the time in January, and we had 20 boats show up there. So you got 20 locals in Sydney, you got 40 in Brisbane, you got heaps in building on Swan River in Perth now, and plenty happening in Victoria too. And the thing's gone gangbusters because people are realising, like, it's a very technical boat, but it's very rewarding and, like, quite pleasant to sail. It's like when you get in the Star and you can let the tiller go upwind because it tracks nicely. It's like a beautiful boat to sail. It's a similar thing in the Finn. It goes through the waves nicely, and I think people appreciate that, as well as hanging on for dear life when it's 20 plus knots downwind.
It's super cool. It is super cool. I must admit, my phone got blown up this week from Dave Turton trying to pull me into the Brisbane fleet. He's just going, "Well, you're old enough and fat enough. It's time." So,
I know a bloke who can get your boat, Jordan. So. Anytime you're ready, mate.
This is another form of going red around the bottom, Mark.
Yeah. Well, you forgot to mention the fleet in Adelaide, of course, with Paddo, I guess. Nick Patterson. Is he still
Adelaide's
rolling?
Home club. They got a couple down there.
Oh, there's a couple.
More than
that's
couple. Right. That's right.
Yeah. It's going 12. Would that be right?
Yeah. That sounds about right. Yeah, there's some great guys into it down there as well. We've got a large country. It's hard to cover it all.
No, it's good.
Yeah, no, it's pretty awesome.
So, what about? So you did the Star, did a bit of the Artemis. Do you like the grinding, or is that just pain?
Oh, it depends what you're grinding. If you're grinding hydraulic fluid, it's not that fun. I mean, yeah, like you work, you know, 2 to 4 hours a day in the gym, and you have to sail on top of that, and you're basically getting whipped. I was thankfully only in the campaign 9 months, but for some blokes, that's 4 years. Mm. It's a slave's life for sure, but at the same time, it's pretty rewarding being involved with a fantastic team and being on the yachts that AC designers are coming up with now is nothing short of a blessing. It's pretty cool to be on and shaking, holding on to the handles at 50 knots and feeling the G-force as you bear away through the power zone. Hope more people get to feel that in coming years.
It's crazy, isn't it? I was watching the Ineos boys today. It didn't look like fun.
I was about to say the same thing. Yeah. Pumping away.
Yeah, where they swapped out. And I think some of the commentary I actually heard, maybe Kenny was up. Kenny asked Ben, or Nath asked Ben, I'm guessing you're not all that popular with your grinders with that sort of attacking jaw. But, of course, typical skipper's response, oh, no, they love it.
They're built for it. Yeah. They just get stronger.
It doesn't quite work like that. But at the same time, if you know you're putting in for, like, the sake of trying to tack better than the boat or whatever, it is motivating and beats staring at a techno gym screen for 2 hours. So you'd rather be doing that.
Yeah.
So, and today was attacking Jules. Attacking Jules with the cup.
It was good. It was good. Yeah. If you weren't doing the sailing, like if Goffey hadn't said, "Come on down," what do you reckon you would have ended up? Would you have stayed with the cycling or the triathlon, or were you just too big?
I probably got too big. I've been asked a couple of times to go into rowing.
You'd be a good rower. Yeah, you got the levers.
Yeah, but that would be a stupid decision. So I'm pretty thankful that, like, sailing's worked out all right.
Well, maybe the...
What is it, Jordan? The only way you can win a medal where you're sitting down going backwards?
Sitting down going backwards better than anybody else. Well, maybe the kayaking, the sprint kayaking.
To be honest, I got so much respect for dudes in other sports and what they're doing. I went out and checked out N-Swiss kayaking the other day, and we were watching mainly the girls' squad, and, mate, it would take me 4 years just to keep up with them in one of the training sessions. It's pretty cool, and I think that's one of the things when you start, like, delving into other sports once you've been – quite successful or gotten towards the top of one, is that really humbles you in terms of, like, what it really takes to be good at someone else's, at another sport. And you have so much respect for these people who give, you know, almost their entire lives to trying to achieve something in that area.
All right. Well,
maybe after your incident when you're 18, that could inspire you to join the Australian ice hockey team.
I'd have to find about 10 mates and a couple million bucks to make that happen, mate.
Well, in our house at the Worlds there was the Jake Lilly show that was going on in the Australian sailing team. You want to tell us about that? You've got maybe you'll be a future host of Breakfast TV in Australia. Is that on the cards?
I don't mind chirping people, eh? Like, it drives Tom Burton absolutely up the wall, but... yeah, I love a bit of banter. So as soon as I saw Bo Outeridge had a spare microphone, I sort of just grabbed it off him and said, "Follow me." And yeah, it's good just, like, giving your mates a bit of a heckle and keeping them on their toes. And yeah, I guess it made for some good viewing by the sounds of it.
Yeah,
love it. It's move over Cole, they reckon. Straight in.
Oh, wouldn't we all want to do? wouldn't we all want to fill Carl's role on TV? You know, he's got the Ocker Aussie role we'd all love, where we can just run wide and everyone just accepts it. That's what he does. You know, he gets in grief.
That bloke's cruising.
He's got it good. He knows what he's doing. Smart lad.
So the Swedes we were talking about before have no idea who Carl is or what we're on about. So we've lost them.
Oh, we lost them ages ago. Don't worry about that.
We do apologise for the rest of the world. And we do try and get as many we do try and get overseas people, but obviously time differences catch us out a few times. But we do try and push for as many overseas people because it's a global reach. But we don't apologise for speaking like Aussie. We are 100% determined that the Australian lingo and vernacular will take over the world. We're resisting the American push. And so, yeah, we're 100%. So, Jake, when Bicey and I used to do a fair bit of presenting for the Volvo for all the special VIP guests, that was one of the things that we did. And if we're ever working together, we'd offer them, do you want us to do it in English or do you want us to do it in Australian? And they always ask for Australian, and then they always asked us to change back.
Not to mention that that normally the Swedish owners would come and speak to us beforehand. Just slow it down, please.
Slow it down, boys.
I can do slow. Don't worry about that.
It is hard.
Of course, there's our Australian Spanish, Bicey. That's not bad.
See.
You got any other languages, Jake? Have you spent enough time overseas? Have you picked any up or not?
I got a couple.
Getting good at Swedish yet?
Yeah, my fiance and I don't speak English, so that's pretty cool.
Oh, okay. What do you speak? Just Swedish?
Yeah, just Swedish. Like, she's just got pretty useless at the old English, so I thought it's probably easier. We'll just stick to Swedish, eh? So, yeah, I think the other day she said something like in English, and I was like pretty weirded out by it, to be honest. But so I managed to pick that up. And then I went to school in Japan when I was younger. And I studied that. I think I was like into Pokemon as a kid or something, right? So natural progression, Pokemon, picked up Japanese and ended up in a school there for a little bit.
Wow, a bit like me last week, guys, with Pokemon. Apparently.
Yeah, so I think it's like, it's so funny that the games is there back in Tokyo now. It feels like a bit of a full circle. Yeah. It's almost like a bit of a homecoming when you go back. And, it's pretty cool. Like, you go to so many places and feel absolutely like a foreigner. And I'm sure I look like much more of a foreigner being 6'7" and tanned and rather large in Japan than I would in Europe, but I don't feel that way.
You're more Japanese than Leo Takahashi.
I don't think he'd like me saying that.
No, it was only a joke. We get
have you sailed in the region that the games are going to be held before?
Yeah, we first got across there not long after the Cup in 2017, and we've been back every year since, except 2020, of course.
Yep.
When the AP was hoisted.
Yep, when the AP was hoisted.
Yeah. Maybe that's the future for you, mate. You can go into become a race officer afterwards and just, you know, you have to be, just to scatter people's brains, put your AP up just when it looks good, bring it down, put it back up, you know.
They got enough people doing that already.
Fair enough.
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah.
What else we got?
I think you've covered it, Jake, and I want you to keep the banter alive and kicking.
Yep.
The morning show, we're looking forward to that.
Yeah, let's get you on
Tokyo.
Let's get you on Breakfast TV.
We'd be more than happy to replay it all. So depending on what the format is and how it's all going to work, mate, this could we'll use our platform here for you, absolutely.
Yeah, cool. Any way that says you boys are doing good stuff and keeping the sport strong, so it's awesome.
Nice. Nice. Oh, and for saying that, I'll make sure there's a merchandise pack in the mail for you. It's on its way, okay?
Thanks, Spicy.
Just make sure the Australian ping pong team don't get it downstairs.
Yeah. Oh, mate, they're in more chance of giving themselves a broken elbow than they are making any ping pong team.
No ways, it's a sailor. What can you do with them?
Our hand-eye coordination is not a sailor's strong point. We're sit-down sports people.
That's it. Oh, dear.
Confirmed.
One.
All right, mate. We'll leave you in peace.
Oh, thanks, Jack.
Thanks, boys.
Cheers, mate.
Good on you, buddy. See you on the water next week.
Yeah, absolutely. See you there.
Cheers.
See you, boys. Thanks for that.
See you, mate.
Well, larger than life personality, old Jake. He is truly a legend, young legend of our sport for sure.
Larger than life physically as well. Big man. Going to give us some big results. We're going to see coming up for the Olympics and some big banter. Love it.
6'7" and a standard size head.
Come on, we're
standard all size head. Let... 6'7" got me. Head on a 6'7"
got me. Yeah, no, we love the boy because he does the banter. We love that, and he's got a Swedish missus, so that means he's, you know, he's part of that little Swedish mafia that's going on up there. So good work,
and can tell a story.
Can tell a story. Yeah. All right,
That's what we like in our sportsmen. Well, stories.
We like him. All right, we've got to move on, boys. We've got a lot to talk about. Any secret pro news?
I do have some.
Oh, go.
Yes, I do have some. I did mention it to you, Bicey. It's a possibility that there could be a nationals of a certain class coming to a certain hometown of yours.
Oh, good.
I'm not going to say which nationals, but I'm sure we can all work it out.
I think we've all worked it out.
Well, I can tell you I am giving it a big push.
Great boat for that part of the world.
Oh, absolutely. So much to say that there was a meeting the other night and someone mentioned it and I literally did a backflip and got all excited and, what's BP doing?
Oh, started high-fiving each other.
He's from that way.
The only one I wanted to mention is these leaked documents throughout the week about if Kiwis win the Cup, they're going to take it offshore.
I did see this, something about this.
It's not really secret pro, but it's because it's out there and
send it off to tender. Why not?
That the Jamaican sailing journalist Tom Amon. Amon.
I'm cool, man. Anyone seen my Walkman?
How does that work?
A look, actually, to find out and see exactly what's going to happen there, but
how does that work?
Because word around the traps is it could never happen out of NZ because Team New Zealand, if they retain the Cup, they don't own the Cup.
That's right.
It's Royal New Zealand Yacht Squadron.
That's right.
That's what I understand.
Exactly true. And, mate, why would you? I mean, you know, the event is such
you get a lot more money, that's why.
It's such an attraction.
You get a lot more money.
There's that.
But apparently that's that photo that you posted the other day, Jordan, where Jacinda was holding her handbag. Dobbs was trying to get some more coin out of her. Said, if you don't give me your purse,
I'm selling it.
We're going to Dubai.
Yeah. And it's time zones as well. We love the time zones, obviously, being in Australia at the moment, lockdown in Australia. The time zones working in New Zealand for us just fine. We sit there with our lunch and enjoy a bit of yachting. It's good fun. But, all right.
So do you reckon that's a big part of it, the TV rights you're talking about related to that?
Mm-hmm. Well, it comes down personally, it comes down to the fact that these races are now so much more user-friendly on the TV compared to the past, you know. Yeah. So TV rights is a big thing.
Mm. That's what it's all about.
When you look at these races, the way they've set it up with the graphics and the race course and the gridding, you know, a lot more people are understanding it.
Yep.
The other one was a little note flying through this week about a certain former pro, ex-chief technical officer of the Ocean Race, co-host of one of the greatest sailing, well, the greatest sailing podcast.
167th in Finland, comedy.
Are we? No, we were 60. We were 60 something in Finland, I think, in comedy. Okay.
Was it Hungary?
Oh, Hungary. That's right. Yeah, yeah.
60th funniest podcast in Hungary.
Oh, no. Got lost in the Malangua, had to pull the phone out. Nearly went up the Finnis River. Is there any truth? Do anyone know who that could be they're talking about?
Oh, mate, I can give you the exact rundown. Mm. Oh, lost, absolutely. Okay. I had no idea where the hell I was going. I'd never done the Malangua before. And I didn't even know where to go off the start line. I was just relying on Snowdy. Oh, there's another mention for you. but then...
you just go that way and turn right a bit.
Well, that's what one would think, but that's a negative. You got to go around this little island down there. Mm. And so, yeah, we did have to just drag the phone out at one point in time just to know exactly where to go. We've gone past the, what do you call it? We've now gone past the 2 weeks since the race, so we still are the record holder.
You got lost and you got the record.
I know. Impressive.
Well, we actually didn't get lost. We just didn't know where to go. Initially,
because you're in the lead,
didn't quite know where the right hand turn was,
and you just thought you were going to be following someone, didn't you?
Well, I didn't really look into it too much, to tell you the honest truth.
Oh, well, good fun though. Well done. Let's get back to the cup. All right, we've seen four races. What do we think?
Start. I think Jake was right. They're not off the pace, the Poms.
No. There's a tiny bit in it. I reckon a tiny bit.
Yeah, they're just that little inkling.
Mm-hmm. They've spent much time just waddling behind them, you know, and Spittle doesn't let them off the hook, you know.
Got to win those starts.
Well, yeah. What about the second start today, was it? Just launched himself.
Mm.
Yep.
Yeah. I wonder, I've been looking at the rigs a lot. I wonder if it's the rigs. There's just a slight difference. I mean, I don't reckon there's much speed difference, but the fact that I reckon the Italians can control their shape just a little bit better up high and down low with that boom under the deck. I'm not sure if we're allowed to say that out loud. giving away secrets there. That they've got better shape down low on the main, and so it's a drag thing. You know?
I did sort of say to myself today that the UK bottom third looked really, really flat.
Comparative, yep.
Yeah, which...
Yeah, Nath was saying that up in the chopper yesterday, having the literally a bird's eye view, and you could see how much more shape the Italians were running. Mm.
Yeah, but the flatness paid dividends in the first events because they were able to sail in the heavier airs. We're sort of seeing here how much the camber plays its role. Mm. I think you're right.
Like if you looked at the numbers, it was bugger all difference. But the Italians were just about half a knot quicker downwind and about half a knot quicker upwind when you looked at the data afterwards.
Yeah, it's also a bit of moating. You know,
could be moating. Yep. Yep.
Mate, there's something to be said though for these blokes racing against each other. So whoever comes out on top. Are going to be another step up since the Kiwis race.
It's going to be hard for the Kiwis,
Several steps up.
It's good though. Like it's really, really good. Where I was today, there was people who'd never watched it before and they're just sitting there enthralled.
Yeah.
I mean, it was great though. It was proper match racing. I mean, as good a match racing you're going to get with these boats, that's for sure.
I agree. And as I alluded to earlier, it was a perfect Valentine's Day date.
Yeah. But so for those, it's scheduled to be racing on Wednesday, but it's not going ahead. So for
New Zealand, just gone into stage 3 lockdown.
Yep.
As for those exact rules, I couldn't tell you off the top of my head, but basically the AP has been raised.
Yeah, so they'll go into a 3-day lockdown likely because we've got contract tracing. In Australia and New Zealand, so we can just throw it down for 3 days, find out everyone that's... So basically, I think somebody in the hotel came out and you've got 3 people in the general population that have got it.
Yeah.
So they'll just track those 3 people and their contacts and we should be back and up and going. It should be all okay. But, no sailing on Wednesday. I think it was going to be blown out anyway. It's what someone was saying today. They looked at the weather map, looked like it was going to be blown out anyway. So It's just coincidental, timed out well. Bicey, you had a topic you want to raise.
Mm.
Yeah.
So I've actually been building a bit of this. So originally, a couple of weeks ago, I posed the question, which is better, the 5-0 or the Sharpie? Now, just in jokes, talking with a few different mates.
You never mentioned the 5-0. You just said the Sharpie was better. You never said it was comparing to the 5-0. I just thought you hadn't counted the 5-0 in that equation.
No, sorry, it was a statement. The Sharpie is certainly much better. No, I can't say that. Haven't sailed a 5-0. But what I will tell you, it's evolved the discussion. Just having a bit of normal banter over a few sailors' lagers and looking at all the classes out there, maybe we run our own Barcarati Cup. Mm. So essentially we choose 2, 3, 4 different, like, single-handed boats that are very similar, and you try and eliminate, and you come up with the, you know, junior double-handed, junior single-handed, senior double-handed, senior single, whatever it is, and you basically have a round-robin series, and then you basically create what would the ultimate classes be, and you've got, and you're going to end up with 10 globally, as opposed to the 100.
Yep.
So a few examples could be the Holdfast Trainer, be the Sabo, for example.
Yep.
420 versus 303.
303.
Maybe.
That's a South Australian
boat. The laser V, one of the aeros.
Oh, yeah. Well, they've done that with Olympic trials. But yep. Anyway.
Or even an AM Etchell versus an E22. So I'm going to build the guide, and we can just, you know, it's a couple of minutes every week, and however long it takes us to get through to the end, and we can see what the ultimate yachting fleets would look like globally with those 8, 10, 12, whatever the number's going to be.
Geez, you got him a beauty. Did you see his face then?
He's not talking to us.
I just pull on the ropes.
You know, last week where we said we're going to take the piss out of you and we didn't, we're saving this one.
I know. It's all right.
Speaking of working out fun races and having a bit of fun at each other's expense, how's our email during the week? Yeah, we got a ton of emails. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
No. Which one? The one from Finland or the one from New Zealand?
The New Zealand one I'm talking about first up.
Yep. Copy.
So, Graham Rowntree. Boys, I'm on the race committee for the
Pleasant... It's happening. It's happening.
It is. I'm on the race committee for the Pleasant Point Yacht Club in Christchurch, New Zealand. Listen to most of your podcasts. Love it. Love the idea of the pursuit race. Has anyone tried it? Any pro tips? Got all a plan, we're going to do it, going to work through elimination, blah, blah, blah. We have it in our program as Bar Karate Pursuit Race. Are you all good with us using your name for it?
And well, we should put a unanimous vote in for that.
So that's Graham's email to us, right, to the cheers at barkarate.com. And instantly I see it come up on my phone. Oh, how good is this? Jay, you've got this one, mate. You've got to answer this.
Oh, you want me to tell the rest?
Well,
yeah, go on.
Yeah.
Well, I wrote back straight away because I said you're a smart man, Graham. You've got it all worked out. We're happy to cover this as a major global event. We think it works best setting the course as a reaching setup. Technically should be referred to as the Barcarati Pursuit Race created by the great Jordan Spencer, but we're happy for you to use the shorter name. Of course, it's been published.
And they've made a flyer.
He got me.
The Bar Karate Pursuit Race created by the great Jordan Spencer. Mate.
That'll teach me for being a smart ass.
Oh, fantastic.
You'll never learn when it comes to you, mate.
But good on him. Good on him.
This will get global recognition without a doubt. We'll cover it on all our socials. Yeah. We might even send over a merchandise pack for the winner.
Oh, love it. Love it.
Hope your size triple XL. That's all we got left. Oh, reminds me, Jake actually might get the merchandise back.
He might, yeah. Actually, yeah, that's good use of it.
I think he'll struggle in triple XL, mate.
All right, the other one we got was from Timo. What, the other good, really interesting one we got was from Timo Lukonen in Finland. And, again, he was having a whinge about the cold there and only dreaming about sailing. But he wanted to talk about technology and the whole on the back of what Carlo said with the automated race course setups. He was pretty fired up about all that, saying it would be a game changer for club racing, probably not too far in the distant, lower the threshold for the number of people required to get it out there and duke it out. They can have proper racing programs. You don't have to have volunteers bobbing around in a tinny, but I think somebody just bought your tinny, Bicey, so that's another race.
Yeah, tinny's gone. Tinny's sold.
Yeah. So you can just, you know, you can have random boats sailing. You don't have to jump your new girlfriend or boyfriend on a rib for the first time, you know, so they're sitting out there and getting frustrated and boring. So you could just auto race boys from the club, set up the system on your way out, and toss the boys. So he was pretty interested in that and wanted to know if anyone is actually developing these systems around the globe, who they are, get them to discuss the projects. So there's a lot of interest there. So maybe we'll follow up on that, what the issues are, how it works. I know that the boys at the last America's Cup were automated, so they were little battery-driven things and they just stayed on a GPS position. They weren't anchored. And it's very, very doable. It's been discussed for a long time.
Yeah, there's Mark Set Bot, right, which is currently out there. But yep. As for it going to and finding its position, I'm not sure how that works. Might take a little bit more
I think it's research. Just
you'd be able to provide some support there with USAFE. Make a little USAFE jet in it. Off it goes.
Yeah. And then he finished off with a fairly large bit of banter.
So just for starters, all good points, Timo. We're going to look into it a whole lot more. And I appreciate your attempt at banter, mate. But
attempt is the big word.
So, P.S., I still consider our nation's greatest Olympic achievement to be kicking your butt in your own skiff game in your own backyard at the Sydney Olympics in the 49er class. Let's hear about any Australians' feats in ski jumping or ice hockey. My response, I love the passion, all good points, need more time, blah, blah, blah. Need I remind you about not only Australia's greatest sporting achievement but possibly the world's greatest sporting achievement? Does Stephen Bradbury ring any bells? Ice skating, Australia, gold.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So, for those that don't know, just Google Stephen Bradbury. It is one of the greatest sporting achievements this generation is ever going to see. So, Timo, if you want to take on the champions, you're going to have to do better than that, my friend.
Absolutely. There's no chance because we've got Bradbury.
Love it.
He's doing
it. We love the emails coming in, so keep them coming. We do try to respond to all of them and we'll generally put someone else we'll get the, if not us three, it'll be someone in the back office.
Super busy back there.
No, but we love it. Keep it coming.
Yeah.
Cool. Run out of storage on my phone.
I just want to do a quick bring something onto the table, which I hadn't mentioned to you guys before, but just a quick one. Last week we recorded before the results came out, but congratulations to the Royal Yacht Club of Tasmania. The Sailing Champions League, the Asia Pacific season is underway, and the Southern Qualifier was won by the Royal Yacht Club of Tasmania. Good little battle down there in the cold. They're down in Melbourne, I think they're sailing it. So for those who don't know, Mark Turnbull, who Olympic gold medalist in 470, he's been organising this thing. So all the sailors just jump on board and get a sail on identical boats, the RS21, and just run through and have a
fight. Great concept.
It's a great concept. Just beating out the Sandringham Yacht Club team and then another Sandringham Yacht Club team as well, I think, into third. I saw Chris Jackson was in the hunt there for a while, the mighty Chris Jackson. You blokes probably don't remember, Jacko. Would you?
That's a negative.
Yeah, yeah.
Negative.
Sorry, Jacko.
Yeah. A dead set. But
they sound like the Champions League sounds like a good contender for Sailor's Lager.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, good idea.
Yeah,
good
we'll have a chat. Have you guys thought about entering a team?
Yeah, well, why don't we do the Bar Karate sailing thing?
I've got more on that coming, but I've got to keep it a little bit under wraps for now.
So the next event is the Northern qualifier, which will be in Newcastle March, I know, 28th or something like that. But so yep. There is another qualifier. So maybe Bicey's getting a team together.
Oh, maybe. That's what's happening. Be well worth
it. It's gone quiet.
Yes. Could you play the cricket, please?
Hang on. You can't see it. You can't hear the shrug. Okay.
Play the crickets, though.
Hang on. There you go. All right. Well, yeah. Okay. Well, might see you there on the race course.
That'd be fun.
You're doing it as well? you're doing it, are you?
Not necessarily. No. I might be. I've been asked. That's all I'll say. Oh. But, I mean, I'm not sure who wants an old fat. So that hasn't done much. But anyway.
Oh, there's plenty of classes around that need that sort of thing.
Yeah, no. And the gigantic ego and no talent. Righto. What else? Beer? Do we need to talk about beer? Anything good happening there? Middle Harbour Yacht Club's taken on board BP.
They're getting close, Middle Harbour Yacht Club, also RPA, Royal Prince Alfred Yacht Club.
Of course, our mighty friends.
Selling a few, but there could also be a little bit of a, I haven't told you guys, but a little bit of a deal with the Pittwater to Kos race coming up March 21, which may have a picture of a Bar Karate Sailor's Lager on the main page.
What date's that happening?
Just a quick one, shout out to our mate John Schaefer in Annapolis. Get us some pics, will you? We're going to save it till we get the pics and a little teaser. Yeah.
Stop sending photos of a box.
Yeah.
When you're ready.
With a folded up something folded up.
That sort of box. Okay.
Come on. John Bacon.
John Bacon. Go on, BP.
Oh, look, I think it's been an interesting year in sailing all year last year. I mean, you'd know more about it than I would in terms of how this panned out. But the Aussies have won the Five Nations Cup and the 5.5s. You're a fan of those?
Yeah. I love the 5.5s. And John Bacon, friend of the show. In the 5.5s, they've got three divisions, the Modern, the Evolution and the Classic. And they had this Five Nations Cup where it's an overall championship awarded to all the different for all the different events that people sail around the world. So it's basically accumulating points from all the different events. And the Aussies had a clean sweep in each division this time around, probably because we're the only ones really doing any sailing, but I think we had the worlds down. So Alpha Croxus in the Modern division, John Bacon in the Evolution division with his team on Coringai 2, and Damien Macy in his division in the beautifully restored Barragoola, which looks like the old Aussie, it's the old Australia 2 paint job.
It does. It's amazing. It's at the RPA, and you look at it every time you drive past the car park. It's quite cool.
Cool. And just one more thing to mention from my side, man, the Tikal Classic coming up. So I definitely hope we can get a recording in before that starts. We all remember the incident from last year when both BP and I tried recording on Sunday afternoon after a few bit of a session at the Port Lincoln Yacht Club. That won't be happening again.
No.
But Tikal Classic coming up this week, looking very not normal weather pattern, let's say. Extremely hot in Adelaide this week. It's going to be light, variable. Small boats getting pushed home with a bit of the southerly, but we won't care about that because we'll be at the...
You're in the mighty colander.
Offshore
colander.
At this point in time, I doubt we're even going to get a wave over the deck. So
Wow.
The old shorts and T-shirt, eh?
Interesting times. Well, that's pretty much us, isn't it, kids? There's nothing else on your list?
No, just a quick shout out to Will Oxley Conversations this week.
Yep.
I mean, it's pretty much the natural pathway that most people do take when they're doing long form interviews on podcasts these days. Starting off with a bit of Bar Karate, finish up at the ABC on Conversations.
It's a good program.
Fantastic chat.
Yep.
I literally, my next door neighbour said, did you hear that chat on conversation, blah, blah, blah? And, yeah, it was well worth it. So on your favourite podcast app, look it up, Conversations, Will Oxley. Awesome.
And a good Very guy. Cool. Good friend to the show. The only downside to Conversations is they have copied our format a lot.
Well, I did notice that. I wasn't going to bring it up, but I was glad you did.
Get the back office team onto it, shall we?
Yeah, got the lawyers onto it, I think.
All right. Cool. Should we? We'll call it a night. It was another good one, and we've got an interesting one next week lined up already. So happy days. Enjoy your night. Thanks for listening. We'll speak to you next week, team.
Good on you. Cheers.
Straight to holy moly.
Where you got the slide just going crazy.
Yeah. Just hold off on that first bar coming into that bit.
I don't know what a first bar is, mate.
You're probably like 6 or 7, maybe.